Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. 661 Lancaster, California. If you're from the AV, you got love for the AV. I need you to get in tune. I need you to make peace. I need you to show love. Let's go.
I talked to God on the last yard I was walking on. Feeling that stress and that pain, just trying to make it home. My granny died, I found out through a letter. And now I want to strangle any nigga if he pressing wrong.
Now I don't think you understand. This my boy J.O. Just another day alive. My boy got another chance, y'all. He ain't behind no walls. He ain't in no box. So why the fuck is niggas still hating? Stop hating on your brother. Start hating on your sister. Uplift the king, uplift the queen, let's go.
I talked to God on the last yard I was walking on. Feeling that stress and that pain, just trying to make it home. My granny died, I found out through a letter. And now I wanna strangle any nigga if he pressing wrong. Not where you wanna be, but it comes with the life. They gave you four doubled up cause it come with a strike. These prison rules and politics, they come with a knife. Feds got your face on the wall and they coming tonight, yeah. Forgive me mama, I know I wasn't living right. Brought the dope in the house and hid it in the kitchen light. It tripped me out when she told me, boy, I love you, but knowing you was in jail, the only way I could sleep at night. Now tell me that ain't trauma. I only want the
good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to another edition of This Is Recorded Podcast, showing Lancaster a lot of love. I'm happy for Lancaster, man. I know Lancaster get a lot of hate and everybody hate on it and they don't want to claim it and shit like that, but Lancaster was cool for me. It's a place I grew up at. It's a place where I, you know, try to become a young man, shit like that. It's a place where I knew this dude, man, in passing, man. Please introduce yourself, brother.
What's up, man? My name is LeJohn Johnson, you know what I'm saying, out here in 661. What's up, everybody?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So were you born in Lancaster or you just moved to Lancaster?
I just moved to Lancaster about the fourth grade. So, you know, I've been there my whole life, pretty much. I was actually born in Bellflower.
Okay. I heard about, what is Bellflower next to?
Compton. Like, right next to.
I was thinking it's like an old, like, old town, like Bakersfield or something like that.
Man,
no,
it's
not.
Right next to Compton.
It's not at all, man. So how was it growing up there that you remember in Bellflower?
Oh, man, it was... I was born in Bellflower, but I stayed in Compton. It was tough, man. Like even being young, it was just everybody so rough. You know what I'm saying? From your cousin, so we was always, even though we everybody got love for each other, we was always fighting. You know what I mean? It was always gunshots around the area. Time to go in. The riots about to start. You know, different stuff like that. So, man, it was a little challenging, even just up to the fourth grade. You know.
Yeah, yeah. So what made your family move? Was it because of everything going on? And how did they find out about Lancaster? I heard that Lancaster used to have signs on the freeway, like, it's really cheap to live here, you should move here. And a lot of people from L.A. really moved to Lancaster.
No, yeah. It used to be stuff like, for a better life, come to Lancaster, Palmdale. Like, yeah, bro, it used to be like that.
Yeah, it's so crazy because I heard, I didn't know if that shit was like an urban legend, but like, nah, obviously it's real.
I think stuff like that, man, yeah. But my family moved out here, basically. My dad was a gangbanger. Just a lot of stuff going on. And then he just, growing up, he knew how everybody around me was, so... Just to move his family away from that stuff, we kind of just went to the dirt, man.
Man, shout out to him, man, because a lot of people, I think a lot of dudes that was in the gang shit and stuff like that, when they make it past like 25, they like, man, fuck that. I'm ready to go. Like, I don't want to be here. Everybody I know either dead or in jail. I got a chance, so fuck it. I put in my work. It's time for me to get the fuck on. Like, nah, man. So, man, that's a beautiful thing. Now, did you go to the same elementary school as everybody, Lincoln? Did you go to Lincoln?
No, I didn't go to Lincoln.
Oh, my God.
I actually went to Lancaster Elementary School.
Where is that at?
That's over on, like, 35th West and, like, J8.
Oh.
It's, like, in there by them apartment buildings back there, man.
By the hospital?
by the college.
Oh shit, yeah, yeah. I used to live over there by the college. These little condos. I used to live over there by the college. Yeah, man. That's great. Yeah, J8. I was like, that sounds familiar, but I think that's J3 or J4 by the hospital. You got a little hood over there.
Yeah,
man, that is funny, man. So what were you into growing up? Kind of things you used to like?
Oh, man. So growing up, I always did music, like from as far back as I could remember, because I actually have my older cousins. One of them name is Elway. He was always big into music. And then I had two other cousins, which is Gabe and Mike, who was part of Pac Deer Pacific Division, which was a big group that everybody fucked with.
Legendary, legendary, man.
So every time we got it around, you know, they'd have all their little cousins, which was me and my little cousin, rap all the time. You know what I'm saying? So I got into music young.
So what kind of music were you into? What was some of your favorite artists at that time?
Honestly, I looked up to them, bro, a lot when I was when I started doing music, just because they just introduced me to it. And then, like, my dad, just riding around with my dad, I would listen to, that's where the West Coast rap came in, which was, you know, Cube and
NWA is Compton, for real. I mean, all of them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my dad got pictures. He looked like he was part of the group.
I think everybody seemed like they fit the description back then, man. They all wanted to look the same. So NWA was a replica of what was really going on in the city.
Was real, yeah. That was the representation of us at that time. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
more come. That's why people gravitated towards, because you was saying stuff that we lived and you look like us. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, you know, I was born in New York and I lived there till I was about 6. But what people in New York loved about NWA was like, yo, they really was like, fuck the police. This shit is crazy.
Yeah, no.
They was like, yo, New York is wild, but these niggas are wild, wild, for real. Yeah,
for real.
Yeah, so they was just like, yo, they really, really saying that shit for real. It's just like, man, like, gangsta rap had a pit, man, big influence. Like, everybody had the Chronic. Even on the East Coast, my dad had the Chronic. It was just like, man, when that shit came in, gangsta rap was just it. It was the one. And when I really moved to Lancaster and stuff like that, I think I was in the 7th grade. I was like, damn, this shit is really like a way of life out here. They really love this shit for real, man.
For real.
And like everybody, you know, the Mexican girls, the shit, used to love Tupac. They used to have them on the fucking... on a binders, remember the binders with all the pictures and shit? Oh my god. That used to kill me, bro. Still, Baby Boy got the hardest fuck. That Tupac nose ring on the doorknob, still the hardest.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know who thought that up, but that shit is the hardest.
I was saying, like, man, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, I was like, who had the idea? And how do you perfectly make his nose ring the doorknob? I was like, damn.
Right.
Yeah, it was just nuts, man. Do you watch Snowfall?
Nah, man. Everybody tell me to get into it, but I'm the type of person to let something completely finish and then I watch it. You know, I don't like waiting for stuff.
Yeah, so yeah.
I'll wait for everything to finish up and then I'll go to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good whenever you get a chance, man. It's something. I want to watch WandaVision, but they said the first couple episodes are slow, so I'm going to have to wait. I'm waiting now that it's done. I might go watch the whole damn thing now.
Bro, it's good, man. When I seen the first episode, I was like, nah, why did they do this? But
yeah, it said it'd take like 3 episodes or something before, but when it pick up, it picks up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, like, it's now everybody talk about how bad and boring Lancaster is. Can you give me some good out of Lancaster? What is the good?
Honestly, it's, to me, bro, the best thing about it is you're not a part of all the commotion all the time. You know, when you're in the city, it's just always something going on. You know what I mean? So it's like we get to observe a lot from the outside looking in, which is also a great perspective. Yeah. So I like being out the way. I like enjoying my having my time and my space, you know what I'm saying? And then head down there when you're ready to get into something, you know?
Exactly, exactly. Now, I would imagine now that Lancaster has a bunch of dispensaries, I would imagine. Is that correct?
No, man, honestly, to get to your first dispensary, bro, you either have to go to Rosemont or to, like, the Valley. You know what I mean? Like, Sun Damn. Valley. It's none up actually in here, you know what I'm saying? So, but they have delivery services, so I guess you could say you could still get it delivered to you.
Oh, do they? Are they taxing real heavy on the delivery?
Oh, yeah, bro.
You I would imagine that they're going to tax crazy.
Anything in California getting taxed and taxed heavy.
Oh, man, is it like an Uber ride?
Yeah, you place your order, bro, they come to you and drop it off at your doorstep.
Bro. Yeah, it's just so crazy because, like, I mean, the chronic, like we was just talking about, it was just like, that shit is, California is known for weed. So it's just like, for it to finally be legal is like crazy because it seemed like everybody, you know, back in the day had cannabis cards and shit like that. Right. So it was just like, we do what we want. Like, and nobody, no police ain't really tripping off no weed for real. Like, they could care less about that shit, man. I don't know. I just was like, man, it got to be something good. And I think that is cool. Like, Lancaster pretty chill.
Man. Yeah, bro. And then, you know, it's you could sit here and talk about the AV, bro, but you could say something bad about everywhere, to be completely honest.
Exactly. Exactly. I hate it, though.
This home, bro. I've left here and came back. So it's something good about it. You know what I'm saying? So
where'd you go? Where'd you venture off to?
I just moved to LA because I thought being in the mix, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I moved back. I was like, nah. Then I tried to go the other way. I went to Mojave. Nah, not going that way. So I just had to stay. I had to come back, bro.
Yeah, man. I don't know. It's just, you know, everybody, I think Lancaster, man, is just like, so you might have to move out to really grow and do some things, but like, to just shit on it like, oh, fuck this place and this and that. It's like, I mean, it meant something to you at some point. At some point, it was fun. Do you remember DJ's place? Do you remember that club? Oh, my God. Hey, I was talking to my boy Chris, man. Shout out Chris, man.
Yeah, we're talking about they used to have the phone parties and shit, bro.
Oh, my God. DJ's place is the fucking greatest place in the world, man.
Oh, me.
Oh, my God. Like, I mean, it was just a good time. Like, just little things like that. I remember I be telling people, man, niggas, y'all don't know fucking Beyonce came to the dirt, nigga. What's up, man? That was an event.
God, she came to the dirt.
That was an event when Beyonce came to the dirt. Yeah. It was a situation for real.
Yeah, they went to the fairgrounds, right?
Bro, Survivor time. They was at the fairgrounds with it.
Yeah.
And they probably ain't never seen the dirt since then.
Hey, because you got to think about it, though. Bro, we like a pit stop before you get to the real shit, you know, before you get to Hollywood and stuff like that.
Hey,
so
let me pick up a bag real quick.
Bro, you even notice in movies sometimes, bro, they be out here a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, this one of them through spots. So people know, people have been here and they never knew the name of it. And then that's why they don't know what it is.
Yeah, they're like, man, we was in some fucking desert or some shit. You like, you was in Lancaster? You like... But I see it a lot, though, in movies and shows and shit. They talk about Lancaster all the time now. So Lancaster slowly but surely getting its just due, man. Yeah, and I don't know, man. I just think, you know, more people need to show love. And it's going to be, you know, shout out to my boy John. He got that song out right now, man. I think it's Rotten... Nah. It's called The Jada Story, man. He dropped his shit, man. It's going crazy right now. I'm going to put it in the intro, the song you're going to hear in the intro. And he repping the 661, man. I'm glad for him that, you know, he ain't trying to run away from it and act like, yeah, I'm from L.A. and shit because your grandma lived there and shit. Like, that's why when Kendrick came out and was like, where your grandma stay? It's like, yo, this is some... If you from the area know that shit, you're like, this is some real shit. Like... Nah, nigga, I know you bang, nigga. Where your grandma stay at? So
right.
Yeah, that is just funny, man. But now I know you venturing off into photography, but before we get in photography, you told me something very, very interesting. You said that you are into lizards. You have to tell the whole story of getting into lizards and where you at with it now.
All right, all right. So this happened, it started maybe like, I want to say probably like 4 or 5 years ago. My sister wanted me to take her to a reptile expo. Now, before this, I hated reptiles. Like, I don't mess with them.
Yeah.
And they, you know, a lot of times people say you're afraid of things that you don't know about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're afraid of the unknown. So I go there or whatever, go around, and it's just a big place with a whole bunch of breeders and stuff, and you get to learn about these reptiles and stuff. So just, I don't know how, bro. I left there with 2 snakes.
Hell no.
I was like, bro, what? I used to be like, bro, don't bring that snake next to me. But I left there with 2 snakes, bro. Oh. So, then I met this dude named Alan at the Reptile Expo. And he had a bearded dragon sitting on his shoulder. And I was like, bro, what is that? And he told me about it. And he wanted to start breeding. So I was like, bro, I'll do it with you. So I gave my snakes to a snake, like little retreat, what they call it?
Rescue or some shit?
Rescue. Yeah, yeah. This dude, he just raises snakes and stuff. So I gave him the snakes, and then I bought 1 bearded dragon from Florida and 1 from Arizona, I think. I raised them up, and bro, just had babies. That was the start of it.
That is crazy, man. So you sell them, you say?
Oh, yeah, I ship them across the United States, man. I supply pet shops from here to Corona whenever I have them. You know what I'm saying? So
This is so interesting and crazy, man. Like, wow. Yeah. Like, I was not expecting that. I was totally thinking about the photography, man. Now, what is the price range for something like that? Like, how much would somebody expect to pay?
Let's see, the cheapest that I sold one for was about $50. The most that I sold one for was $1,000.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, man, it depends on what's going on. You can make some money right. doing that.
Right. Yeah. So like when I first started my first year, it was that lower end. You know what I mean? So it was like 50 to 150. And I just invested and got better genetics and stuff like that. So then I was able to make the more expensive from 400 to 1,000. So man, I've had up to 200 dragons at a time, bro. It was crazy.
Wow, man, this is crazy, man. You making money. This is recorded history right here, man. This is it. Like, yo, this is a wild story, man. Like, yeah, I definitely, man, got to chop this clip up and let people know, like, hey, you can sell lizards. So, yeah, man. But
I'm the type of person I've always been. If I want to make money doing something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to find a way to do it. So,
yeah. You got to have that hustle in you, man. You got to figure it out. You got to make a way out of no way, man. But your photography, man, tell me, how'd you get into photography?
It's crazy because it all started with me doing music. And I used to take pictures of, like, my boys and stuff, like, for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I remember I started this clothing brand. I mean, this media company called Beast Entertainment. And I had shirts made.
Okay.
And I was able to get this model named Celise Rose. And she put on my hats and my stuff. And I took pictures of her. And people liked it, man. And then for years, I just never pursued it. And then eventually I was just like, you know what? I got to do this. Like, I always find myself thinking about it. So I had to get into it, man. And it's been going real good, bro.
Good. Man, that's beautiful because, man, I also love photography, man. I love to mess with it. But my favorite type of photography was concert photography. And here in Atlanta, where there's a will, there's a way, man. A matter of fact, I got it right here. If I could show you. God knew I wanted to get into photography, so I got this random cold email like, you want to work a BET event? I was like, sure. Like, BET Her, it's kind of like the Black College Expo. It ain't nothing too crazy, but it's going to be people there that do things, a couple celebrities or whatever. So I got this pass right here.
Okay.
With this pass, though, I started going to concerts in Atlanta saying that I work for BET.
Hey.
So it's like I listen to a lot of podcasts. Shout out to It's The Real. And they had Ravy B on there, and they got they got Summer Jam in New York. And they always have all the artists come out and stuff. And they said they would make fake passes. And they would go and they would just be like, yo, I'm here, whatever. So my little hustle, man, I go out there and I used to be like, yo, like I'm here. I'm running late. I'm in traffic. Let me call the people. They told me I'm supposed to get my tickets, blah, blah, blah. But like, oh, how you doing? I start fucking talking to people and shit like that. And they just start forgetting about what they doing. I'm like, I really need to get in there. I know they need me to take photos.
Right.
They just let me in. So with that, I finessed my way into Rick Ross. I finessed my way into Dave East. And one other one. And my wife would be like, yo, how the fuck? Like, I text her like, I'm going and I'm going to see what happens. And I would text her and I would be in that motherfucker. I just send her a picture of a media pass, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, she be like, what the fuck? How do you be getting in there? Like, you don't be scared. She, and then, like, her dad and shit be like, somebody gonna fuck you up one day because you keep sneaking in there. I be like, hey, man, fuck it. You know, this is another media pass, a sticker I had. This one, 11/20. Bro, that one was for Dave East right here. But the biggest shit and scariest shit, man, the box was out. Roddy Ricch going out.
Uh-huh.
He had a show in Atlanta. He had to push it back because he got so fucking big. He was nominated for the Grammy. So I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. So he did the Grammy, and that following Monday, he flew back to Atlanta to finish his show. And this shit was wrapped around. The box is going fucking crazy. He just came off the Grammys. Man, I went and I tried to get in. I was so nervous. I was like, this is a big ass show, man. Fuck, I'm gonna do this. Man, right. I seen the dude coming in smoking a black and he had the little shirt on. I was like, yo, let me go in the back. Like, I was just like, yo, man, how you get in? Like, I'm supposed to be taking photos. And he already knew I was full of shit. But he's like, ah, just come with me. Man, I got in the back. If you look on my Instagram, it's foggy because it was real smoky in there. It was super smoky, and I didn't have a good lens at the time. But I got pictures of Roddy Ricch fresh off the box, man. It was fucking insane. I was like, and that was one of my last ones because I think the Grammys is usually in February or something like that. You know, the pandemic shit was in March. But my last concert was Rhapsody, and I actually got invited in. I was like, wow, this is like, this guy sending me a sign like, yo, man, you all right, man, you could do it.
I did a little bit when I went to Complex Con last November.
Nice.
I got pictures of the baby, Anderson .Paak.
Oh, yeah, I seen that.
What's her name? Rico Nasty.
I know a couple people that work with Rico Nasty, man, out here.
Yeah.
I got to send you Cam Kirk Studios. This is where I'll be going to take photos and stuff. They work with everybody. They fucking crazy, man. They just made a photography-style record label mixed with Atlantic. So Atlantic artists work with their photographers, and it's kind of like...
I've been trying to hit up these little... up-and-coming artists and stuff like that just to figure out some things, man.
And that's what the guy, Cam Kirk, is a photographer, big photographer out of Atlanta. He got to start working with, like, Metro Boomin and Young Scooter and them. Like, and he just said, focus on people who want to fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody want to go for the star, and if I shoot them, he's like, shoot people want to come up because they're going to remember you. He got, like, some early Travis Scott and Young Thug. Rodeo, you know, shit like that. So he's just like, he's just like, focus on people who want to fuck with you. Don't focus on, you know, shit like that, man. So your photography journey, what's your favorite type of photography?
Honestly, it would have to be like concerts and stuff, but it's a close it's close with portraits. I love doing portraits, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it just depends on if I want to be a part of the moment, or if I want to coordinate the moment, or want to capture the moment as is. So, you know what I'm saying? So it depends on my mindset at state at the time, but those two, neck and neck, bro. Love that shit.
And that's what I love, is that, like, I don't have to tell you, like, do this or stand this way, or something like a concert. It's like you giving me the energy I need. You know what I'm saying? You giving me that I'm excited, I'm hyped, I'm all that shit. Like, I ain't got to tell you to do nothing, because nothing worse than with photography shit. Like, people start acting weird. It's like, nigga, just stand there. Like, that. Stand there, look this way, look that way, talk to me. Like, don't make it weird. Just take the photo. But when you throw that camera in front of people, boy, it just gets so weird. It's like, bro. Act regular. That's it. That's all I want you to do, is act regular, man. But photos is good, but I know videography is like a lot of money in that, and like good. So what you think about the videography side, and what things have you done on that side?
Oh, man, I actually really just started really doing video, and bro, it's been going real good. One of the first real videos that I did was actually my little brother, Jay Million, which is an artist out here, cold artist. I'm gonna have to send you some of his stuff, bro. Like,
okay,
this dude definitely go make it. So I did his video to one of his songs called Problems, and I used my drone. I got some drone shots. I used my gimbal. I just thought I was the man that day. So I was like, bro, let me see if I can edit this damn thing, because I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm watching YouTube, and I'm just learning from different people, asking questions. So I put it together, and from my first video, bro, I think it came out as good as it could have came out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was beyond my expectation.
Oh, yeah. Man, I did that with my first little video, because I got, like, a super old camera. But I make it do what it do with the old camera. I got, like, a T3. And I was just using, like, stock lens and shit like that, man. But I just made it. I just went out there, and I did a video with my boy, and I was like, damn, it'd be good if we had a drone shot. And this girl just showed up.
Right.
Shout out to Divine Eye Media, man. She showed up with the drone, captured some shots for us, man. And then, like, I had her on a podcast before. She quit her job to just really pursue photography, marketing, brand, stuff like that, man.
That's what I'm doing.
It's just like,
That's what I'm doing. I was driving trucks and stuff, and I was just like, bro, I want to work for myself, man. I want to work for myself.
You said you was driving trucks?
So, like, I got a Class B. Like, I was working for a company called Iron Mountain and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I just wanted – I was always seeing my kids just going to sleep. I was always gone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you don't want that. You don't want to work yourself to death for somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's taking away time from my family. So I was just like, you know what? I got to figure something else out.
Yeah, and that's what I'm on, man, with this, like, podcast, photography. I did some nice photos of a little girl over the weekend. She had, like, a Beauty and the Beast type vibe going on. But, like, I just want to work with brands and help people build their shit up through photography, working on more videography. You know, out here, they got places you could rent, you know, camera work from. So I want to mess with a 4K camera and see what it looked like and stuff like that.
I'm working with that Sony right now, that Sony A7 III.
So you a Sony guy? Are you Sony, Canon, whoever? Which gang you claiming, man?
Sony all day. That's what I use.
Oh, man. I like Canon, though. I'm old school with it.
You know, the Canon is cool, man. The Canon color is beautiful. I love Canon colors and everything, but it's just something. Like, you get this cinematic look.
I heard Sony is smooth. I heard it's smooth, though. Canon is just like the OG that been on the block forever, but I heard Sony is, like, really smooth, and they get a lot of people that been messing with Nikons and Canons that's trading over to the Sony side, man. So, yeah, that's definitely dope, man. But definitely a downside of photography, man. I heard you got your equipment stolen before. Now, have you got it back, and are you back at full power now?
I'm not back at full power, but I still make things happen with what I have. You know what I mean?
A real hustler got to get it, man.
I was probably upset for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I try to change my mindset as I got older. Is it's okay to have your emotion, but get past it, because only reason I would still be upset about it is if I felt like I would never get that again, you know? And I didn't feel that. it was just a setback, and I knew I was going to get that again. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's just, man, in life, and that's what I do, shit. I meditate in the morning, pray in the morning, do anything to get my mind right.
Santo with my sage.
Man, you got to, anything, like, it's like people got to get to that point in their life, man. Whatever makes you feel happy, it don't matter how weird it is, whatever the fuck, if you ain't hurting nobody, do it, man. Like, just do whatever it is, because as you get older, you realize, like, damn, mom's just, like, stressing over some dishes, but she probably had a fucked up day, and I ain't even thinking about that. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about, I'm about to ask her for some money when she get in here, not knowing whatever, whatever, but yeah, it's just like, you know, as you get older, you just got a certain level of respect and just love for, you know, what people go through. And it's just like, you know, anybody, you think people turn into weirdos, this and that. We don't know what the fuck people been through in their life. So it's like, look, I can't judge nobody for what you do. If you ain't hurt nobody, you want to burn candles, burn incense, do whatever, shit.
Whatever, huh?
Do it, man. Whatever you got to do to get right, man. And
that part.
And that's what I want to do, man, with my platform and shit like that. Because it's just like people, you know, especially in big cities and shit like that, they want to hate, or they like, oh, that shit trash, or it don't look like this, they don't look like that. But then when you get on, it's like, oh, Lee John, my boy, man, I always knew he was going to make it. But it's like,
oh, I like your style. No, you said it didn't look like everybody else.
Yeah, bro, it's just like, you know, when you on a come up, it's like, damn, my nigga, like, a little bit of support. You know, I know it don't look greatest, but fuck with me on this ride. But as soon as you touching shoulders with Beyonce or whoever's big, or they see this photo, or I got in here and I did that, they want to fuck with you. And it's just like, bro, we got to stop that. We got to encourage niggas while they on their come up, especially people like yourself with a family or something like that. We got to push them, like, hey, man, like, let's help him find his way. You know what I'm saying? Because ain't nobody trying to work no fucking job 65. That shit sounds ridiculous to me. I'm right. Like,
hey, I'll do photography when I'm 65.
Yeah, but that's on some super vibed out. You be in there, motherfucking cowboy boots, nigga, and just chilling. Like, nigga, I'm fucking doing whatever I want because I got to this point in my life, nigga. I can do whatever I want to do, but it's just like, we really got to kill that mentality as black people and people in general. Like, we got to build each other up, man. Anybody doing something, you know, and give them constructive criticism. Hey, maybe you should try this, maybe you should try that, but all that just talking shit just to, like, crack jokes or whatever, it's like, we gotta kill that. So what's some of your favorite photos? What's your favorite album cover? It don't have to be period. It could just be, like, some of your favorite album covers, the photography that was captured in it.
One of my favorite all-time covers will have to be J. Cole.
Forest Hill Drive?
Yeah.
Man, that was hard. And I wish I had it with me right now. I also have the physical CD of To Pimp a Butterfly. That shit was dope.
Mm.
Because it was like, you didn't know that was Kendrick was mixed in with a bunch of his niggas. Like, you couldn't even tell, right? Like, yo, like, oh, that's Kendrick, like, in the midst of everybody. And then he has other photos of him and other styles and shit. It's black and white. It's just really, really fucking dope, man. And just, it's so many album covers, man. You got any other album covers that you think of? Like, dang, I like that.
Yeah, I like Oxymoron, man. That one.
Oh, yeah.
With the ski mask and the bucket hat.
Oh yeah.
Black photo.
Yeah, that was,
that's cold.
Well, you got any sports photography that you can remember that you really like? Like, oh man, that was a dope shot.
Pretty much anything that you've seen a highlight of, if it was a dunk, the Kobe dunks,
Kobe dunk, you know, the one LeBron did, like, after Kobe passed. Rest in peace to Kobe. But the one that LeBron did, the little cradle joint, and whoever took that picture is, man, that was nuts.
Bro, the one with D-Wade when he like this, and then LeBron dunking behind him.
Oh, man, bro, it's just like
coldest pictures, because he was just like already, he wasn't even looking. He knew LeBron had it.
Bro, do it up. It's just like, and some of the dunks, when like, it's so many different dunks. You know, the Michael Jordan, you know, of course, any dunk contest and stuff like that. Like, I think it was a real dope photo, Michael Jordan getting his eyes covered up trying to dunk. That shit is like, yo, who took this photo?
And that, and that's why, bro, that's why I love photography. Can you imagine everything? That moment looked different when you seen it in person or when you watch it on TV. When you have a camera, bro, I tell people, you like, that's the only time that we can control time, because we can take that picture and stop it right there and create this moment that will last forever. So you feel those dunks because of the photography. If it was just like something that you just watched, I don't think it would be as big. You know what I mean? Like, certain moments wouldn't have such an impact if it wasn't a photo to go with it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just crazy, man. Like, the sports ones, it's just like, man, nuts, man. And then, you know, they have certain movie posters and all kind of stuff. But I think album covers is definitely the dope one. Oh, yeah. In sports, I'm sure, you know, the dunk contest, you know, it's always was dope, too, when you see the look on everybody's faces in the back when it was a crowded arena and stuff like that. Yeah. It was just amazing, man. Sports photography, stuff like that is just dope. But before we get out of here, we definitely got to get your handles and everything, man. What can they expect from you, and give them all your information so they can get in contact?
Okay. Well, so I don't even think I've said this not one time in here, but I go, my name is John, but my photography is Dragon Photography. You can find me on Instagram @_DragonPhotography. Same as Facebook, _DragonPhotography. TikTok, same thing, Dragon Photography. So I've been working on a lot of things, man. I got weddings coming up this year that I'm doing, a lot of videos. I've been working heavy with my two good friends, man, which is Alan Terrell. He's another photographer out in the IE. And then my boy Kid, Magic, who's out here in the AV, bro. We all out here killing this photography, man. So just be on the lookout. I got a lot of videos coming through, man, and people, I think they go get real excited because my photos is already different. I try to separate myself from everybody else. So I want to take that same approach to my videos. You know what I mean? So I think people will like what I got coming soon, man.
Man, I like that. I like that. So what I do before we get out of here on every podcast, I do speaking into existence, man, so we can make these things happen, man. What's the legacy of Lee John and the Dragon Photography? What's that going to be, man? How they going to remember your impact on this world, man?
First off, I'm going to be one of the dopest black-owned media companies out there. That's already in place. Like, I'm already taking steps to that. So people going to see me internationally. So just be ready. Like, that's always been, I wake up every day and I feel that. Like, that's how I walk every day. So you'll see, it's coming real soon. Everybody will see Dragon Photography, Dragon Media everywhere. Promise you.
Yes, sir, man. So everybody stay tuned, man. Thank you for coming on, man. And this is recorded.